Today's scripture reading comes from 2 Corinthians 2, 1 through 11. The Pew Bibles, that's 1146 in the ESV and 1796 in the NIV. For I made up my mind not to make another painful visit to you. For if I cause you pain, who is there to make me glad but the one whom I have pained? And I wrote as I did, so that when I came, I might not suffer pain from those who should have made me rejoice. For I felt sure of all of you that my joy would be the joy of you all. For I wrote to you out of much affliction and anguish of heart and with many tears, not to cause you pain, but to let you know the abundant love that I have for you. Now, if anyone has caused pain, he has caused it not to me, but in some measure, not to put it too severely, to all of you. For such a one, this punishment by the majority is enough. So you should rather turn to forgive and comfort him, for he may be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow. So I beg you to reaffirm your love for him, for this is why I wrote, that I might test you and know whether you are obedient in everything. Anyone who you forgive, if I have forgiven anything, has been for your sake in the presence of Christ, so that we would not be outwitted by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his designs. This is the word of the God.
Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning. Are we having a lot of fun out here in this weather? I personally am very tired of being cold. Well, maybe for those that love that, then, you know, that's fine. But, you know, I also got to tell you, too, that what another effect of the cold is that it seizes my voice up some. So I apologize for that right from the start. So, we are having some fun here. And by the way, thank you to all those who were helpful in reestablishing our church after we had a water main break, and all that was taken care of, and a lot of people were involved in that. So thank you for that. And I was told to make sure I let everybody know, if you look at the title of your sermon, Forgiveness and Restoration, Restoration was the title of the sermon before we had the water break, so just need to let everybody know that. So let's begin with a word of prayer as we start our time. Lord, thank you so much for bringing us all together here, Lord, and for all that you're doing in our lives and for all that you're doing in the church. We thank you, Lord, for the financial words that were shared this morning, Lord, and we're grateful, Lord, for your blessings on this church and on all of us. And Lord, we do pray for Joy Hopkins and for Fernando and his family, and that the loss of them, Lord, and of Gary and Fernando. And Lord, we pray that you would be just very present in grief situations and also, Lord, in all the things that are going on in our lives. Thank you for this time that we have, Lord, and we just pray that you bless us in it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we have been walking. Yikes. We have been walking through 2 Corinthians, and I don't know if you've noticed so far as we've been looking at this, 2 Corinthians is a very, very personal letter that Paul had to share. And he kind of poured himself out in what he had to say. And as I was kind of working on this and thinking about this, it occurred to me what a difficult thing that is to do. Here's a church leader, and he's writing these letters, and you can just really feel his heart come through. And I think that was an important piece of this, his message to the people. But you can just feel his grief come through. And so that's what we want to talk a little bit about today. So as we've seen, Corinth was a really tough city, a really rough place to minister. Corinth was a big city. It was a port city. It was, you know, a lot of wealth, a lot of things going on that were exciting and were fun for people. But it was also a city that was full of immorality and full of just a lot of the secularism and idolatrous mindset that was going on. And we kind of see that as we go through the look at particularly 2 Corinthians, but really 1 Corinthians as well, deals with those issues. So then when we look at the church in Corinth, it was a bit of a mess, I got to say. The church was full of disagreements, of arguments, differences, trust, distrust, arguments with theology, all kinds of things like that were going on. There were lifestyles issues that were coming up. People were arguing about church practices and all kinds of stuff like that. So squabbles just going on all the time in this church. Now, we've kind of seen some of that as Pastor Jack has been walking us through some of this. And the reason that I wanted to start off by reminding us and focusing on this is that because this was such a tough place for Paul to minister in, for Paul to deal with all of the things that were happening, he had to adjust all that he was doing just to kind of survive with this, right? So there are a lot of churches around today that are like this, right? Some of you may have experienced some of that. If we went around the room and asked, probably I know that some of you have experience of churches where the people are just always at each other. There's a lot of dissension, a lot of bitterness, a lot of things going on, a lot of distrust of leadership. All of those things were taking place. And so we see that in our day. And as I was kind of contemplating about this, it occurred to me, and I want to make sure that I say that I am eternally grateful. I am so thankful for Water Dam Church. We've been here for 20, I don't know how many years. We've been coming to this church. We've been a part of this body. And this is a place where we support one another, where we uphold one another. And, you know, there might be occasional issues that flare up, but I read about and I look at what was going on in Corinth, and I think, and I have had issues with so many other churches in my experiences as well, too. In fact, I want to tell you about, so when I first, the very first church that I ever worked at, this was many years ago, so I was a young associate pastor. I was a youth minister. I was a Scotty, you know. I was, so I went to this church, started working there, and the very first Sunday I was there, the pastor got up from the pulpit, and he read a letter to the congregation, and the letter said something to the effect of, somebody in this congregation is sending out mean, destructive mail to the congregation. You're harming people, and you're harming me, and cut it out. So that was my very first Sunday at this church. And I'm thinking, what did I get myself into? Right? And as it turns out, this church was like this. It was one of those places, right? So the phrase that came into my mind is knives out, right? It was just everybody. They had a board of 24 elders, which is a lot to begin with, But these 24 elders were all like representing different factions within the church. And so everybody had their own little tents to guard and to try and control. And so every meeting was like that. And you should have seen the congregational meetings. You want to talk about knives out. It was something. So I only say all this because what that describes is nothing next to what Paul had to go through in his ministry. And so it's important to keep that in mind as we look at what Paul was doing and what he had to endure with all of that. So it's not as though Paul was really, he didn't choose to end up in Corinth. The Lord directed him to do this. So one of the things that I think is really interesting and really helpful as we look at Paul is to look at the way that the Lord worked in his life and the way that he molded and shaped him. So Paul was not, he was not somebody who by his very nature would have been a good leader. You can see that if you kind of read through Paul's letters and things. He had a lot of faults, a lot of quirks, a lot of issues, and he struggled with so many things. But the reality is that Paul had been placed there by the Lord, and he was the right man to be in Corinth. But the Corinthians didn't think that. The Corinthians, some of them anyway, gave him all kinds of problems for being, they were so critical of him for being weak, wimpy, they called him, right? He was a bad leader. He was indecisive. He wasn't flashy and eloquent like the leaders, the orators that they would expect to see. He was indecisive. He didn't speak truthfully. So, and in this letter, and as we've seen, he was criticized because he was supposed to come to visit them, to Corinth. He's over in Ephesus right now, and he was supposed to come visit them in Corinth. He said he would, but he didn't come. And so he got criticized for that. They used that to say that he was indecisive and couldn't make his plans well. So all of this is going on. And in the midst of that, you can really see, and we're going to look at the scripture here in just a second more closely, but you can really see the pain that Paul had. It's amazing. This letter is incredible at just seeing the pain that he went through, the anxiety that he went through, just comes through in the way that he writes, right? So you can see the pain and the hardship that he went through. He suffered for his ministry. But it says that in spite of this, he had a real love for the people. And that's the amazing thing. He loved these people. And I read all the things that he went through, and I'm thinking, the last thing I want to do is love these people. I want to be out of here, right? I want to get out of here as quickly as I can. And that wasn't the way that Paul dealt with this. So, and he said this. This is verse 4. He says, "For I wrote to you out of much affliction and anguish." And there it is. "Out of much affliction and anguish of heart and with many tears, not to cause you pain, but to let you know the abundant love that I have for you. What an incredible statement, right? That he's explaining, I didn't come to you not out of indecisiveness, not out of any of these things that you're accusing me of, but it was because of my love for you, right? He didn't want them to feel more pain. So, all of this, and the reason I'm talking so much about Paul is that one of the things that really stands out as we look at this, and as we go through 2 Corinthians, and we look at what was happening in Paul's life and in his ministry, one of the things I think that really stands out, and I've kind of touched on this a little bit already, but that is that I just marvel at the sovereignty of God and his preparation and his foreworking in people's lives, right? Here's Paul, who was he wasn't just selected. It wasn't just a matter of God looking around and trying to find who's the right person to send to Corinth. That's not what was going on here. What was happening was he was molding and shaping Paul to be the right person for that position. He built him up for that task, right? And he built into him courage. He built into him the ability to speak truth to people in this difficult situation. So this is what Paul was all about. And so I just want to, I wanted to make sure that we see what God had done and to marvel at what God does in all of our lives. God builds us to be the people that we're supposed to be in the places that we're supposed to be. And that's a word. It's a bit of an aside here, but it's a significant thing, and we can see that coming through with Paul. So Paul had, in his ministry in Corinth, and really elsewhere too, throughout his letters, you see this, he had two ironclad principles that directed him and that he brought to his ministry. The first of those is that Jesus Christ must be glorified. Above everything else, Jesus Christ is to be glorified, right? Now, this coming from a guy who was taking a lot of beating from people and a lot of difficulty, and still his focus is the glory, not defending himself, but the glory of God and the glory of Jesus Christ. And so that was the first thing that comes through. So, and his second ironclad principle was that people matter, that churches matter, that the body of Christ really is important. It matters, and it's worth focusing on that, and it's worth giving our attention to all of that. Okay, so that's enough about what Paul was dealing with, and you know, I want to apologize for those who are like, what's he talking about up there? We haven't even gotten to the scripture yet, but it's, I think, an important background to recognize that it was Paul that was going through all of these things because it was what God had built into him. So now we get to the subject at hand here. We're talking about forgiveness and how to deal with it, and how to deal with it in a godly fashion. Paul's dealing with two kinds of forgivenesses in this whole section here, and they're different, but they are related. So there's forgiveness of people. When somebody hurts you, when somebody does something against you, that requires forgiveness. right? And so that's one type of forgiveness. But there's also then, as we all know, the forgiveness that God gives to us, the forgiveness for sin. And we get to see both of these taking place in this passage. So Paul, as I mentioned, Paul was trying to avoid this painful visit that he was going to make. He didn't come to Corinth because he was afraid that if he did, it would actually stir things up more. And he didn't want to go through the pain, and he didn't want the people to go through the pain. There was apparently one man in particular, and we don't know the details of this. Scripture spared us from knowing too much about this, but there was one man in particular that was giving Paul a really rough time, criticizing him, undermining his ministry. All of this was going on, and so what we see in 2 Corinthians is the need to deal with those situations. And it's funny too, it's not really clear sometimes as we're reading through this which of the two types of forgiveness we're talking about. It kind of goes back and forth. And I think that's fine, because what that tells us is that they both fit. Both of these things are true. So let's go to starting with verse 5. Now, if anybody has caused pain, he has caused it not to me, but in some measure, not to put it too severely, to all of you. For such a one, this punishment by the majority is enough. So you should rather turn to forgive and comfort him, or he may be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow. Okay, so here's a guy who's giving Paul all kinds of problems, stirring up the church, harming the body, destroying all of this. He went and had, and there's a visit that is not mentioned. It's not, we don't have details about this, but apparently Paul went and took from Ephesus over to Corinth. He had made another visit. And in this visit, it's called the painful visit, and it caused all kinds of issues, stirred things up, right? And now where we are in the story, where we are in the sequence, is that that's all over and done now. Forgiveness has been offered. Forgiveness has been received. And all that's left is restoration. All that's left is bringing this man back into the full fellowship of the congregation. So that's the point at which we are. Now, let's think about this for a second. Have you ever needed to forgive anybody? Has there ever been something that has you've been wronged in? And then hopefully you work through and forgive a person, right? And when that happens, excuse me, I'm going to need to do this from time to time. So When that happens, what tends to go on, and I know I've seen this in my life quite a bit, is that we tend to sort of half forgive, right? I can say, yeah, I forgive you. Whatever the situation was, whatever was going on, I forgive you. But do I really forgive? Am I able to set that aside and to make things back to a full normal situation with the person? That's not as easy to do. And that's what was happening with this guy. And he was going to be, as Paul says, overcome with excessive sorrow if they kept forcing this issue on him. So let's look at some other passages here with this. First of all, let me say this. So it says this: if anyone has caused you pain, he's not caused it. If anyone's caused me pain, it's not, he hasn't caused it to me, but in some measure, not to put it too severely, he says, I thought that was kind of funny. Not to put it too severely, but he's caused that to all of you. Why would he say that? What would be going on here? So if there's sorrow there, and if the people are causing that, what's happening? It's harming the person. When you hold on to bitterness or to unforgiveness, when you hold on to that, it affects you, right? And for a whole church, it affects the entire church. And so that's the thing that Paul was getting at here. So while Paul's real desire, his natural inclination in dealing with this guy would have been to let him have it, right? Both barrels. Do you ever feel like that? When somebody wrongs you, when someone harms you in some way, what you really want to do is let them have it, is go at them. That's my heart. That's our hearts, right? And so Paul is able to look at a situation where he has been, and he's been thoroughly, thoroughly harmed to the point of anguish and tears, that he's able to say, you haven't harmed me, but you've really been harming yourself in all of that. So now the ball is back in their court. What's the congregation going to do about all of this? And what we find out is that what actually happened is that Paul, while he was waiting, he skipped his visit to Corinth, but he was waiting for news about how this was going to be taken by the people. This harsh letter, when he came down on them and when he really laid things on the line for them, he didn't know what the response was until he found out later that the people had been receptive and they had come and with regret, and things seemed to be all well. And so Paul is overjoyed by this. So forgiveness is, it's a difficult subject for all of us. And I would say that what we have to do when we're dealing with something, especially if you've recognized and thought of some forgiveness that's needed in your own life, something may have come to mind immediately. What do we need to do when we're dealing with forgiveness is turn to Scripture, right? And to look at what Scripture says. And Scripture, of course, we know this, has a lot to say about forgiveness. And there's so much there. I'm going to just share a couple of passages that will help us to understand where we go with this. So So first of all, let's look at Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, verses 3 and 4, and it says this. Pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day, and turns to you seven times saying, I repent, you must, and notice the words here, you must forgive him. Okay, a pretty popular, well-known passage, right? But notice the clarity of this, and notice the quickness of which forgiveness is meant to be given. Seven times 70. Okay, Ephesians 4, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Tenderhearted. Forgiving one another, and why do we do that? As God forgave us. And that's really the basis, right? The only way that we can even recognize forgiveness and deal with it the way that we're talking about here is because we understand that before my forgiveness is the fact that I've been forgiven, that I've been radically forgiven. That 7 times 70, 70 times 7 thing is nothing in my life compared to my life. The forgiveness that has been given to me. And so I need to focus on that before I look at anything else about my own forgiveness. And then finally, just let me remind us of a passage that I think we all know pretty well from Romans chapter 3, for all have sinned. All have sinned and are justified by grace. All have sinned. And we all receive the redemption that comes through Jesus Christ. I can't really drive this home any further, but when you leave here today, walk away thinking to yourself, all have sinned, and that includes me. And that's what I have to tell myself. Anytime I'm ready to be critical of something, anything else that anybody has done to me, any sin that I'm a part of or involved with in any way, just hold up the mirror. And look at the fact that all have sinned, which means I have sinned. Okay, so as I mentioned, the wound has already been made. It's been cleaned and bandaged. It's time to fully forgive and completely welcome this person back into fellowship. For the sake of the person and the body. And here's the kicker. Paul says, we must do this. Look at verse 11, if you have your Bible there. Paul says, we must do this so we would not be outwitted by Satan, for we're not ignorant of his designs. Now, why is he bringing Satan into this discussion? We're not outwitted by Satan. Let me just tell you, Satan loves an open wound. Satan loves to have things fester, to have things just never get resolved. We're not ignorant of Satan's designs, and we can see how that would be the case, right? It's harmful for leaving things open and not forgiving and not restoring. And so the answer, and I saw something written that was just real clever, so don't give Satan a win, right? Don't give Satan a win. I like that. Satan loves pain. He loves discord. He loves division. He loves all of that. And the way to deal with that is to fully forgive and to fully restore. So I want to give us a four-step formula for dealing with forgiveness and when dealing with sin and all of these situations we've been talking about. Simple four-step formula is to confront, forgive, restore, and repeat. Okay? Confront, forgive, restore, and repeat. If we do that, then our problem with the forgiveness that we're dealing with can be mitigated and can be taken care of. So we need to confront sin. And I didn't really go too much into this, but I don't mean to suggest that we just ever overlook sin. Sin is never to be overlooked. It's important. It's significant. And we don't want to just like brush that under the carpet, right? And look at what Paul was doing. Paul was to much harm to himself, to his ministry, and to all that was going on in the church in Corinth. Paul was willing to risk not sweeping sin under the carpet, not ignoring it, but to confront it and to deal with it straight on. And so that's step one. So we need to confront, and we need to confront gently and lovingly, not harshly and not painfully. And then we need to forgive. And as we've been talking about, forgiveness is not always easy. But how do we forgive? We forgive quickly. We don't give Satan a chance for a foothold in our lives and in the church. We forgive quickly, and we forgive completely. And then the next step is restoration. We restore the person, we restore the relationship, we build that back in. If you don't half forgive somebody, but you fully forgive them, then what can happen? Then there's restoration. Then there's real joining back together of true fellowship. And so we do that. And then the final step is just to repeat quickly, easily. Do this often. Repeat. Once again, we need to be open and willing to forgive and to do these things, to confront when necessary, to forgive quickly, to restore tenderly, completely, and then to do this as often as required. All right. Well, thank you all for listening to me ranting about forgiveness. And I know it's a subject that for all of us is an important thing. For some of us, it's more difficult than others. For some of us, it's a subject that, you know, immediately brings up anger, brings up things that are sitting in my life. And for some of us, That's a real difficulty. And for me to stand up here and kind of glibly say, oh yeah, just forgive all this. Our message, our model for all of this is from Paul. And the way that Paul dealt with this. And so we talked about the fact that Paul was, he was not immune to all of these issues. He was not standing up here saying, I don't have anything to forgive. Paul was, he dealt with all of these things. And so the way that he dealt with it is the model for all of us, right? To forgive quickly and easily and completely. And that's the issue. That's the way to deal with this. So, all right. So let's go to word the Lord in prayer, if we could. Lord, thank you for these words, and for particularly for Paul, and for his ministry, and for his ability to pour his heart out to his people and to all of us, that we can see what it means to be wounded, to be hurt. We can see what it means to be undermined in our ministry and in our lives. And when things occur to us, Lord, when things happen that are painful, Lord, to see how Paul dealt with this, and then to remember, Lord, that all sin is ultimately sin against you. And so, Lord, we're sorry for our sin. And we pray, Lord, for the ability to deal with forgiveness in our hearts and in our lives in a way that strengthens ourselves, strengthens our community, and builds the church up. And Lord, is all that you want for all of us. Thank you, Lord. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Because of the love of the Lord, we are forgiven. What an incredible truth to stand on and to live by. Let's close in prayer, if we could. Lord, we do thank you for this truth. We thank you that you are a God who loves us, a God who cares for us so much, Lord, that you're willing to forgive us and to put up with all the pain that we cause you. Lord, we're eternally grateful for all that you are doing in our lives. We thank you for this. Now, Lord, pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit would be with all of us and abide with us now and forever. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.